start rejoicing. Sisters, clap your hands. Just off the horizon waits a promised land. Start the celebrating. No more need for tears. Let's be looking for him when Jesus reappears.
Say amen. Amen. Thank you for being here on this Sunday in the month of July. We welcome you here during vacation time. And I know we've got a lot of folks gone. Some of you are back, and we're glad to have you in worship today. But the main thought is this, that even though we may come and go on vacation, God never takes a vacation. He's always here for us, and he's here for us this morning. Let's stand, and we're going to have prayer time. We're going to invite you to pray with us. Please continue to pray for several folks in your prayers as we pray. Please remember Jeff Ellison. He had surgery on Friday, coming home today. And so you pray for them as they're coming home today. And we're rejoicing at that. Others that we have, Miss Linda Pinson is still in the hospital, needs our prayers. And we want to pray for them in a very special way. And all who travel, we want to ask the Lord to be with them as well. Let's just bow our heads and you pray silently this morning as we've come here to get our thoughts together on the mind of Christ and who he really is. Father, we come to you today. We thank you that on this Sunday, Lord, when so many people are gone in different places, that we have the awesome, awesome privilege of gathering here in this your house. And Lord, we have the opportunity to come here to worship you today. And I pray on this morning as I look around, and Lord, we thank you for those who may be here for the very first time who have come to visit with us this morning. And I pray that you'll just bless them as they have gathered here. And I pray that they'll not sense anything special about us, but Lord, may they sense something special about you, our Lord and our Savior. Father, we pause and we pray for those that's in the hospital, and we remember them and lift them up to you. And Lord, we just thank you that you've been there this week. Lord, it's been a very busy week, even though it's been the fourth. Many people have been gone, but Lord, the hospitals have still been full, and death has still come into homes, and heartache has still come. And so, Lord, we just pray for all those today. And we pray that you continue to bless them and touch them, and Lord, bring healing to their body. For those in the hospital, Lord, we thank you that you've been there during days of surgery. And Lord, we thank you for that. And for Brother Jeff, as he makes his journey home, Lord, I pray that you'll be with him in a very special way and bring recovery to him very quickly. Lord, the thing that he hates the most is having to miss church. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you'll give him peace and passive all understanding. And Lord, give him that strength that he needs. Bless his dear family. Be with them as well. And then, Lord, for others that we have. And Father, I don't want to go to calling names for fear of missing someone, but you know who all they are, and I pray that you'll bless today. Father, I feel in my heart that you want to do something wonderful for us today, and I pray that, Lord, in order for you to do that, we ask that you'd bind the devil and his demons away from the place. Lord, that your blood may reign victorious here this morning, that you may remind us that, Lord, yeah, the devil may do a few things, but Lord, he's on a losing field, for you've already won. And so, Father, this morning and all that is said and done, and special music, Lord, may you anoint this place in a very special way. Lord, may we now, in a moment, Brother Tim's going to lead us, and we're going to sing. And Father, we're not singing just to be heard by those around us. We're singing to you. And Father, if we're singing to you, help us to put a little bit of joy and a little bit of life, a little bit of enthusiasm in our words as we sing praise to you this morning. For all those who couldn't be here, I pray that you'll bless them. For all those who could have come but didn't come, I pray that you'll convict them. But Father, the good thing is this, we're still going to have church. And I pray that you'll bless us as we do so this morning. Thank you for what you're going to do. Here is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, plates will be passed a second time for our benevolent offering. That's an offering that we give that helps folks who run in a little bit of bind in life, who may need a few little things taken care of. And so you give to that today as the Lord has blessed you. Father, we thank you. There is none like you. We thank you for the opportunity of giving, for you have given so much. Bless now the gifts that are about to be given and also the givers. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated.
I was recently reminded of a poem where a man was walking along the shore and he looked back and he saw sometimes two sets of footprints and other times only one set of footprints. And it was during the most difficult times of his life that there was only one set of footprints. And so he asked God, you know, my paraphrase, what's this? Because that was the hardest time of my life. Why weren't you there? And God said to him, I was there. I was carrying you. So even in the hardest times of your life, you're not alone. God is always with us. And many times, he's actually carrying us.
Searched for love when the night came and it closed in. I was alone, but you found me where I was hiding. And now I'll never ever be the same. It was the sweetest voice that called my name, saying, you're not alone, for I am here. Let me wipe away your every fear. My love, I've never left your side. I have seen through the darkest night, and I'm the one who's loved you all your life, all of your life. You cry yourself to sleep, 'cause the hurt is real and the pain cuts deep. All hope seems lost, with heartache your closest friend and everyone else long gone. You've had to face the music on your own. But there is a sweeter voice that calls you home, saying, you're not alone, for I am here. Let me wipe away your every tear. My love, I've never left your side. I have seen you through the darkest night. And I'm the one who's loved you all your life. Loved you all your life, all of your life. Well,
can we all say amen?
Amen.
Before I preach this morning, I must, I guess, admit some things. And that is that I stand here with very much fear and trembling this morning, because I have never been attacked far as a message in all my life like the devil has attacked me. I'll give you just a little bit of it. I spent about 3.5 hours typing out a sermon that I felt like God wanted us to have, and then that changed. And then God led me to type out another sermon, and I came up here last night, did it on a laptop, tried to transpose, tried to print it, couldn't get it to print. We don't have a printer that will work when they've been demon-possessed. You work with them, you know what I'm talking about. There was for no reason. And finally, about 1:30, I printed off what I feel like God wants me to share. It's not in a form that I like it. It's not even in the way that I like to preach. But I was bound and determined, very bound and determined, that the devil was not going to win. And so maybe, perhaps, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'll just confess, I don't mind. The Lord convicted me of it in the middle of the process. And so maybe it was for me and not for you. So I'm going to stand here this morning, and I'm going to share something that God's gave me, that me and the devil fought to about 3 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning. Back up again this morning. But I will tell you this. Listen to this. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And so I want you to just listen today for just a moment. There are 20-something thousand diseases that affect us medically in this world. And people have all kind of medical concerns. Some are for real, and some other concerns are in our minds. Some people who feel like they're sick or they're dying or they're ill all the time are suffering from what they call of being a hypochondriac. A hypochondriac is a person who is always or should I say, is a person who never really feels good. Never feels good. And every new thing they encounter leads them to believe their condition is worsened and maybe even a terminal disease. They can take a bad cold and be buried within 24 hours. And in the age of miracle drugs, and we're amazed today at medical technology and the medical drugs that we have, I suggest that there's pills for just about everything. But the only problem with this is that psychologists tell us that the symptoms are in the victim's head, and there's nothing much can be done about it. If a person comes up to you and you begin to talk and that person runs from you, you might be a hypochondriac. Because a hypochondriac will bring you down very quick. You can be on cloud nine and ask them how they're doing, and you stand there for 45 minutes listening to everything negative in their life. And you want to stop and say, God bless you. You are still alive when many other folks are not. A hypochondriac. But that's bad to live in fear of a sickness every single day. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, right now in the century that we're living in, is battling a worse type of hypochondriac. And it is a spiritual hypochondriac. And you know what? A spiritual hypochondriac starts, it's a heart issue. Things are never settled in the heart. And when you've never settled things in the heart, you're going to be a miserable person. Miserable person. And so we're battling spiritual hypochondriacs. And the people who are affected in our church with this condition or this disease are the happiest when they're miserable or if they're making somebody else miserable. Now stay with me. They move from one drama to drama. They move from one crisis to crisis. They move from one burden to another burden. They move from one problem to the next problem. And it starts out that some people are sympathetic with them at first, but when you're so miserable for so long, people get tired of the misery. Can I stop and say this? We all have our faults. We all have our bad days. We all have our problems. But can I tell you this? God has still been so great to all of us. God has. A hypochondriac. What are the symptoms? No joy? If you don't have any joy, you need to check down deep in your heart, for Jesus brings joy. Even in the worst of the worst of the worst, aren't you glad that joy comes through the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no joy. Well, then another symptom is there's no satisfaction. You can't find no satisfaction no matter what you do. There's no peace. And you become a complaint department to yourself. A hypochondriac. Always, always, always complaining. I could take you to several stories in the Bible that proves that there's such a thing as spiritual hypochondriacs, and we could walk over there to Paul's letters to a man by the name of Demas. You remember Demas was mentioned three times in his letters, and the first time was he was a fellow worker, and the second time only his name is mentioned, doesn't say a whole lot about him. And the third time it's mentioned is that Paul says that he's left me now and he's deserted me because of his love for the world. He never could fully be satisfied. But I'll tell you this, I think the best example is the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to look at Numbers chapter 11 this morning. And I want to show you something about hypochondriac or spiritual hypochondriac. And I want to show you today that we really have more good going on than we do bad going on. And I want to show you some things. When chapter 11 opens, it gives us a snapshot of a hypochondriac in mass. The people began to complain about the hardships they had to go through. And they had quickly forgotten. They had quickly forgotten where they had come from. They had forgotten about being in slavery. They had forgotten about those hard days. They had forgotten about all the pressure that was put on them. How quick it was, they had forgotten. And they have the audacity to complain to God when God has done nothing but bless them. They were on a journey led by the Lord. Food was provided by the Lord. With everything they needed coming from the Lord, how could they be in hardship? And church, let me tell you something. We may feel like we're in hardship and hard places sometime, but as long as we've got the Lord, it is not as hard as we may think it is. They had forgot the conditions of the 400 years. You know, they had forgotten all that. When we complain, because things are never good enough to please us, we sound like the descendants of the children of Israel. When you begin to complain, stop and remember where He's brought you from. God has so blessed us. Remember the days. When automobiles didn't have air conditions in them. You remember when you rode down the window and that was the best breeze that you could get? And now that we've got air conditioner in our vehicles, we're so spoiled that when it's not working, it just drives us up the wall. You let the air conditioner units go off in this building, we'd be gone. Matter of fact, this fat preacher probably would outbeat you out of this building. I can't stand the heat. Stop and remember how far God has brought us. And far as a church, you go back into the early days when the church was established, when Cedar Grove was established, when it was hard times and they didn't know what they was going to do, and God began to bless the church and led the church, and then the church began to grow and prosper. You remember back to the days where that sanctuary was sitting right pretty well where we are, and that sanctuary was sitting there and lightning hit that sanctuary and you thought everything was devastated and gone, and God through His foresight allowed this church to build this building. And I'll tell you one thing, we may complain and grumble and gripe, but God sure has been good to Cedar Grove. He's been good to Cedar Grove. And the devil doesn't like it when God's been good to His people. Don't you think? God Himself gets sick and tired of us complaining about every little thing when He's blessed us so much. I stand on this platform today, not very much, but I'll tell you one thing, I stand here today as a blessed man. If I didn't have another person in my life, and I thank God that I do, but if I didn't have another person in my life, I am just so excited that Jesus Christ has saved me and took up residence in my life. My past is gone. Hallelujah. The Bible said it's washed whiter than snow. It's cast in the ocean so deep. My past is gone. Thank goodness. And it's all because of Jesus. Are you suffering? You know what's going to happen if we keep complaining? Oh, God's going to get mad. If we keep complaining about the little things that really don't matter, God's going to get mad. The biggest issue that is facing us today is a simple issue. And it is that all around this church are men and women, boys and girls, dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the biggest issue that we face. And you and I ought to be sitting here debating, how in the world can we get Jesus to the lost person? How can we get Jesus to our community? How can we change what the devil may be trying to do? God's going to get angry. And I'll tell you, when God gets angry, you'll know he's got angry. And he got angry. Are you suffering? Am I suffering from a disease called a spiritual hypochondriac? There are some devastating symptoms. If you'll look at verse 1, chapter 11 of the book of Numbers, and it said, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." What's some of the symptoms? Well, it's unhappiness. People complain when they're unhappy. The children of Israel's exodus was great, but nothing made them happy. And the people began to complain, said things, is they had no real reason to do so, what the problem was. It's possible that they complained of the provisions of the march through the wilderness. It could be that they stopped and they complained. They did not agree in the cause of the march. They probably were like Baptist folks. They didn't agree with the route that they took, and they ought to went a different direction. But whether they believed in the route or not, listen very carefully, you don't get off the route that God lays out for you. Some perhaps complained that they were removed from Mount Sinai, where they had been at rest so long, and they didn't want to have to move, but God wanted them to move. Some probably complained of the weather. Well, it's just too hot to travel, and it's just too bad. We're just tired of all this mess. Some probably complained about the walk. 3 days' journey was just too long to have to walk in the heat, and they didn't understand the way. When we consider how their camps were guided and guarded in grace with the good victuals from God and had good company along the journey, how in the world could they grumble and gripe? Their feet didn't swell. Sandals didn't wear out. Oh, their clothes didn't wear. What could a God do anymore for them? And yet they complained. Some of us in this sanctuary this morning will never be happy. Never be happy. Never be happy. No matter what God does in your life. God has done so much, and yet many of us, all we're looking for is a reason to complain. We'll complain about the weather. It's too hot, and it is hot. We'll complain about the weather when it gets cold. It'll be too cold. We complain when it's too dry, and we complain when it rains for 3 days because it's messed up our outside plans. We complain about the way God wants to do things. And whether you believe it or not, I will go ahead and let you in on a little secret. You may not think God's doing anything, but God's doing a whole lot more than you can see. God's still working on hearts, and God's still working on lives. But you come to the realization that the Lord could walk into this sanctuary this morning, and some of you would not be happy with him. For he doesn't dress a certain way, doesn't act a certain way, and you wouldn't like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me get you on a thought right here. He has showed up. The Lord has showed up. And he continues to show up when we watch a person walk the aisle and give their hearts to Christ. He shows to me that God is still on the move. So face it. In spite of what the devil may think, God is still alive and well in the midst of our church. And it doesn't really matter what's been said in the community and what the devil has fueled up. I want you to understand something. I'll stand up here and tell you that my God is far greater than the devil, and God will overcome. God's going to overcome. God has showed up. He has showed up. And for the children of Israel, God had shown up, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night and water from a rock and manna to eat. And yet they still found reason to complain. Some folks are just born unhappy. And if Jesus can't change it, nobody can. Amen. Unhappy. They had turned a blind eye to God's provisions. They didn't want to see the good things. They were so selfish, they only wanted to see their concerns. We ought to be ashamed. And we, including this pastor, ought to ask God to forgive us for letting a few bad things outweigh the good things that God is doing. Amen. The children of Israel were looking backwards instead of forward. That's why they were complaining. Do you know what God calls us to do? March onward and upward, not backward and downward. And those who are suffering from a spiritual hypochondriac disease are always on the fast approach to drag up the past when the past fits their agenda. You know what? It doesn't really matter what happened a year ago. What does matter is what is God doing right now. Doesn't really matter where you were with God a year ago, but it does matter right now where you are with God today. And can you believe something? Those people actually had the audacity and the nerve to want to go back into Pharaoh's service as captives and slaves. How dumb was that? How dumb was that? Why go back in the past when the present and the future is a whole lot brighter? Unhappiness. The second symptom is unsatisfied. They complain about what they didn't have. They complained about what they used to have. You know, it goes on down in here and it talks about they used to have cucumbers and melons and onions and all this stuff. And now all they've got is this white stuff coming from the sky. They were fussing about what they used to have. And then, the matter of fact, the grumbling people complained about what they did have. They didn't like the manna. Andrew Carnegie, multimillionaire, left $1 million to one of his relatives. It would have been so great to have been one of his relatives, but nobody in this building was. But upon his death, he left one of his relatives $1 million. In return, he gave $365 million to the charities of his community. The relative who got the $1 million got highly teed off because he gave so much to the charities and him so little. Now, church, If God gives you a million, don't worry about the 365 million. If God gives us one soul for the Lord Jesus Christ, and one man, woman, boy, or girl walks the aisle of this sanctuary and gives their heart to Christ, jump up and down for joy about the one that's come to know Christ. Quit worrying about the little things that make no difference. Unsatisfied. You know that. Church isn't enough. The Word of God isn't enough. And people want to be pampered and petted and pleased, and they're just unsatisfied. It's like the man who came to breakfast one morning and told his wife he wants two eggs. He said, "I want you to scramble me one and fry one." The long-suffering wife who loved her husband cooked his eggs and then gently pushed the plate in front of him as he sat at the end of the table. And he jumped up and he pounded his fist and said, "Oh, no! Oh, no!" And she looked at him and he pushed the plate to the side and said, "You fried the wrong egg." How in God's name did he know which egg was which? A person who is never satisfied will look for negative instead of positive. Baseball manager decided to play a rookie in right field one day in the middle of a very, very important game. The regular right fielder wasn't happy about it and loudly complained from the bench that it was a big mistake. He fussed at the manager. He fussed at the coach. He said, "You've made a big, big mistake." As it turned out, the rookie was so nervous that he messed up big time. He made a couple of errors. Misjudged several fly balls. He hadn't been in the outfield playing under lights. He was so nervous. And every time he messed up, the veteran fielder, right fielder, sat on the bench and made fun of this rookie ball player. And finally, late in the ball game, the manager and the coach decided to put the veteran back in the ball game mainly because they got tired of listening to his mouth on the bench. And so they pulled the rookie out of the game. The veteran went out there, and the first fly ball hit to him, he missed it. And the other time, every time the ball was hit to him, he seemed to fumble it. He couldn't do anything right. And at the end of the inning, everybody wanted to hear what the veteran big mouth on the bench had to say when he come into the dugout. He slammed his glove down and in disgust said, "Skipper, that kid has right field so messed up, nobody can play right field anymore." Isn't it amazing? It's always somebody else's fault and not ours. Symptoms. Unhappy, unsatisfied. But you know what bothers me about the simple symptoms of a hypochondriac, spiritual, is they sure do seem to be unified. Complaining spreads like wildfire. You can go through these verses and I'll bring you back to them, but if you get down in verse 4, it talks about the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting. The whole crowd got into it. If you drop down to verse 10, the family got into it. All the families were complaining at one another. Everybody got on the bandwagon. Even Moses got into it. He said, "God, you've left me. I've got the biggest man. God, what in the world?" Then Moses heard the people weeping. And Moses was also displeased. It's amazing. Let one person start complaining to others about what's wrong in the church and what they like and they don't like and what they like about the music or what they like about the youth or what they like about the children or what they like about the preacher or don't like. You let one person complain, it's amazing how the grumblers and the gripers unify themselves together. Amen. It's always contagious. Mark Twain said it this way. Don't complain and talk about your problems. 80% of the people really don't care. And the other 20% think you deserve them to start with. Don't complain for the sake of just complaining. If Cedar Grove don't agree on anything else, we've got to agree on several issues, and that is, number one, God's still alive and well. Amen. Number two, matters not what we've gone through, God's far bigger than anything we've faced. And number three, God is a whole lot greater than the devil and a handful. Be careful complaining. Be careful complaining. You ever heard this? In country, town, or city, some people can be found who spend their lives a-grumbling at everything all around. They grumble, grumble, grumble for no matter what we say, for these are chronic grumblers. They grumble night and day. They grumble at the preacher. They grumble at the prayers. They grumble at the offering. They just grumble, grumble, grumble everywhere. They stay away from meeting because it's hot or it's cold, or when it looks like raining, a headache or a cold. They grumble when it's raining. They grumble when it's dry. And if a little chilly, they grumble and they sigh. Now listen. And when they go out shopping and see the price is high, they grumble, grumble, grumble. They'll just grumble to the day they die. Unified. But there is a divine solution. There's some diagnosed symptoms, but there's a divine solution. Did you go back up in verse 1 and look at something? When they complained, it displeased the Lord. Now I think it made him mad. Did you see what it said? And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. People say, the Lord don't get mad. Yeah, he does too. This is the Old Testament demonstration of his madness. You get over to the New Testament, went in the temple and they were doing things they ought not be doing. You remember, he threw tables everywhere. But you know why I think God gets mad? He gets mad at the foolishness of his people. How foolish I have really been. How foolish I have really been. You know what? Moses probably hadn't heard about all this much. Isn't it amazing that you can complain about your neighbors and you complain about the church and you complain about this and that, and the people that you're complaining about may never hear it. But can I remind you that the big question is this? Does God hear you? He does. He does. God hears everything I say. And God will take care of the complainers. Look at this. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Keep complaining, and God will take care of us. I never will forget when my earthly dad used to whip me. And he whipped me quite often. But I probably deserved a whole lot more than what I got. But he either whipped me with that switch that I had to break in the yard or that belt. And you know, you'd go back in that room and you'd be snubbing, trying not to cry. And Dad would walk back to the door, and I'll never forget those words. Keep it up, and I'll give you something to cry about. You ever heard those words? God says, keep it up, I'll give you something to cry about. Amen, amen. If God ever, Lord can move me, I can leave on his time frame, Lord can move Tim, Lord can do, but I'll tell you this. If Cedar Grove ever loses the presence of God's Spirit, then you've lost your church.
Amen.
You lost your church. Because if you lose the presence of God, you no longer have a church. You have a large gathering of social people who want to come see what each other's wearing and pacify each other and never do one thing to God. If you're ever going to do anything effective as a church for the Lord Jesus Christ, put on your seatbelt, because the devil will fight.
Amen.
And you're going to get mad. God's going to get mad. Look around. There's not a person that walks in this building that don't talk about the beauty of this building. Look around at what God's given. God has blessed us. Be thankful for His blessings. You know what happened? Verse 2 says, "And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched." Can I give you the solution to the symptoms of being a spiritual hypochondriac? Just pray. When I don't like something, the best one for me to talk to is God. When I don't like what's going on, the best one for me to talk to is God. For not everybody who says they're your friends are really your friends. And what is absolutely amazing is you sit down and complain about one little issue and you didn't mean it the way it sounded, and then it's all over town that you said this about this person, that person, and even including me. Listen to me very carefully. The best way to combat complaining is just talk to God. Talk to God. For if you don't, God's going to get enough, and the consequences will be severe. Not every church this morning who's meeting under a steeple in a sanctuary has the presence of God.
Amen.
You can't see it. I've done enough revival meetings to tell you, you can't see it, but when you walk in that door, you can feel whether the presence of God is there or not. You won't believe this, and you can tell if the church loves one another or not. You can tell that. God help us not just to meet to say we've met, but God help us to meet so we can say that we met with an all-powerful, present King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just pray. You know what God told him to do? He said, "Pick you out 70 people, Moses. I'm going to turn the burdens over to them. I'm going to turn the burdens over to them. You don't have to bear it any longer. I'm going to turn it over to them." You know what he was doing? He said, "Pick you out some ministers of misery. Be careful with our complaining." You know something. Why complain to a God who cares for us? Think about it. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God carried a wallet, your photo would be in it. Flowers every spring, sunrise every morning tells me that God cares about me. When you need somebody to talk to, God will always listen. And this is a big one for me. God could live anywhere in the universe. It's His. He created it. But He chooses to live in me. Think about that. That's awesome. He cares about you that much that He chose upon your invitation to live in Him. And what about the Christmas gift? His only begotten Son. What a gift. What a gift. And sometimes we forget the Friday at Calvary that proves to me how much God cares for us. You probably won't like this, but get real, church. Get real. He's crazy about you. God is. And when you talk about being crazy about us, He cares about every single little thing we go through. God cares. Question. If God cares that much about us, even though we may walk through the valley, do you think God doesn't have a reason for us to walk through the valley? He cares for us. It's easier to complain than it is to give comments. What is your address? There's a family nobody likes to meet. They live, it is said, on Complaining Street in the city of Never Are Satisfied, the river of discontent beside. They growl at that and they growl at this. Whatever comes, there is something amiss. And whether their station be high or humble, they are known by the family called Grumble. The weather is always too hot or too cold. Summer and winter alike, they scold. Nothing goes right with the folks you meet down on that gloomy, complaining street. In fact, their growing is never done. And if everything pleased them, there isn't a doubt, they'd growl that they had nothing to grumble about. And the worst thing is that if anyone stays among them too long, he will learn their ways. And before he dreams of the terrible jumble, he's adopted into the family called Grumble. So it were wisest to keep our feet from wandering into the grumbling street, and never to growl, whatever we do, lest we be mistaken for grumblers too. I think I can get an amen out of everybody in here on this statement right here. God has been absolutely wonderful to all of us. Amen. So what do we have to grumble about? Obama's health care plan, we don't like. Presidential elections, we may like or may not like the outcome. But behind everything is this: God is fixing to take us home. So, let come what may, there is coming a brighter day. Watch what you say, and just try your best to live in His way. God, forgive your pastor of the times that I've whined and moaned and groaned when I ought to be thankful for what God has done. Could it be, if we quit complaining and start complimenting God, He may pour more blessings on us than we can stand? So, what about you and what about me? Spiritual hypochondriac. If you're a spiritual hypochondriac, you're always unhappy, unsatisfied. Can I ask you to do something this morning? Since this is the waiting room and this is the examining room, why don't you come to the greatest doctor of all time, the great physician, and say, God, I'm so sorry that I've outweighed the bad over the good. Stand with me this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know what God wants to say or do. I really don't. But I'll be the first one to say that I get up caught up in the complaining thing too much. May we all stop today and see what God has given us all around us. Father, help us now. I don't know why the devil fought me so hard, and I don't know why, Lord. Maybe he didn't want me to hear the words that's found in the book of Numbers. God, help us to just come today in an old-fashioned altar. Say, God, I just want to come thank you. I complained about this, and I've complained about that. I just want to come and give you a compliment today. Thank you for what you're doing. There's some folks scattered in this building through our balcony that in the last few weeks that, God, you've just poured out blessings unreal. And maybe by an outward demonstration this morning, they need to walk forward and kneel and say, thank you, Lord. For if we'll thank you more, you'll do more for us. So help us right now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody else? Some have already come. It may seem like a long journey down front, but it's not. Would you come right now and say, you know what? I just want to come and kneel a moment and say, thank you, God. Oh, yeah, I've complained about little things, but I want to thank God for the good things He's doing. Come on right now. Some are still coming. Brother Tim's going to lead us as we sing. Very simple words, Brother Tim, lead us this morning.
Without him I could do nothing. Without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, without him,
on the second one,
lost I would be. Without him I could be dying. Without him I'd be enslaved. Without him life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Oh, Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be.
Let's do this one thing before I have you to be seated for just a moment. I'm going to ask Brother Tim to lead us in that last stanza one more time. And when it talks about being saved, thank God I'm saved. In whatever way you want to thank God, you thank God this morning. Forget about the neighbor beside you. We ain't worried about the neighbor beside you. When are we going to stop and realize it's not about the way our neighbor worships, it's about the way we worship. And I want everybody to sing. Brother Tim's going to help me watch. And if you're not singing, we're going to sing it until you do sing. All right? And let's sing it with our hearts. When we get to that part, let's let God know how grateful we really are to be saved. All right, Brother Tim, lead us. Here it is. Everybody's singing.
Without him I could be dying. Without him I'd be enslaved. Without him life would be hopeless.
Here it is.
But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved.
Oh, singing, that's right.
Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
Can we give God a good hearty amen? Amen. Amen. Would you be seated for just a moment? If you're visiting with